Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thanks for being here with us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Great to have you here for us for our service of Word and Sacrament today. Aren't we just truly blessed to have such a loving God who looks upon us with such kindness as a loving Father and is always ready with open arms to receive us back and receive us home again. So blessed to have our God revealed in the love shown on the cross. And we rejoice in that together today. And as we move through our service, we have a good service plan for you today, and we're glad you're here. If you're joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning into our service as well. Such a blessing to be together. Our service opens today with hymn 686, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, and we do invite you on the last verse of that hymn to please stand if you're able. Let's sing together hymn 686. the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins as a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with our responsive introit from Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions.
Lord, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin.
For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me.
Against you, you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment.
Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning. And though we deserve only punishment, you receive us as your children and provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for today comes from the prophecy of Isaiah in the 12th chapter. We look forward with this text as Isaiah prophesies to the Holy One of Israel and all the benefits and blessings that come with our Lord Jesus. We begin in verse 1. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord. For though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading this morning from Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice. Oh, rejoice and shout for joy, all you upright of heart. We continue now with our epistle lesson from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to stand as we sing our doxology. According to St. Luke, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me." And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his field to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Would you join us now in singing hymn 423, "Jesus, Refuge of the Weary"? Let's sing. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. There's lots to learn from this parable in Luke's Gospel in the 15th chapter. So many lessons, so much to consider. One important thing about it that doesn't usually show up in reading about this text, or maybe even hearing a lot of sermons about this text, is the fact that our younger brother, well, his heart is attached to the wrong things, right? Instead of loving his father, he's in love with his father's wealth. And he wants his father's wealth and his father's money and his father's treasure. Reminded me when I was preparing of this old commercial that I used to see on TV. Maybe you'll remember it. There was some crazy person hanging out the window of a building screaming, "It's my money and I want it now." And they just kept repeating over and over. And man, I wish I could forget that commercial, but it's still up here. "It's my money and I want it now." This sounds like the younger brother in the parable of the prodigal son. Except for he's saying that to his own dad, right? And what a smack in the face that would be to have your youngest son ask you for his inheritance while you're still alive. It's just an awful way to treat your dad. It not only breaks the fourth commandment, right? Honor thy father and mother, smashes that one to pieces. But also, like the Ten Commandments work, every time you break one of them, you always break the first one. The first one is that we should have no other gods before him. See, that's the thing about the parable of the prodigal son that you don't hear much about, is the idolatry in this text. It's an idolatry of the heart. Because this younger son, his heart is not connected or attached to the right things, but to the wrong things. The idolatry of it all. His father had given him very much. It reminds us of Adam and Eve. You know, they're provided this whole Garden of Eden with any fruit they really want to eat. But no. It's not enough. They want more. It caused me, and you take this how you want, but it caused me to think about my own prayer life. And what I pray for. And I think it's a good exercise for all of us to let this parable sort of enlighten our prayer life and maybe even help us examine it a little bit. Because when I really started digging in and thinking, I realized, like, you know what I'm doing most of the time? I'm just asking for stuff, for problems to be solved, for issues to go away. God has given all of us a great deal of provision, summarized in the Lord's Prayer as our daily bread. A great, great, great deal of blessing. And if we really examine our prayers, yeah, we're quite often just asking for more. Fix this, heal this, solve this, make sure this goes away. Always asking. It's almost like this. It's almost like we know God loves us and that he's all powerful, and we know that he could do anything to help us in our lives right now. And so that's what we want. We want all these things to be fixed. all the problems to go away. But Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 12, this is what it says. He says, "Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven." What he doesn't say is, "Great is your reward right now," does he? But that's what I guess, if I'm honest, I'm often praying for at some level. It's like, fix this, give me the goods. We know that your healing is perfect, and one day all of us will be healed and there'll be no trouble. And we know that there won't be any worries about money in heaven, and we won't be struggling through this or that situation because there's no tears. We want that right now. Or here, Revelation 22, verses 12 to 13, Jesus says, "Behold, I'm coming soon, and my reward shall be with me." He will bring us our inheritance at the consummation of the age. But we want the good life, don't we? And we want it right now. The daily bread? Yeah. We'll take that too. That's good. But can we have more? Our inheritance, please. So often how we live and think as Christians, but our thinking's messed up. It's like we're sitting at a restaurant and God's the waiter. Yeah, we'll take an order of the blessings of heaven, please. We'd like that now. Would you put a rush on that too? We shouldn't be too quick to judge this younger prodigal son in this parable, friends. Why? Because on so many levels, he's our exact reflection in the mirror. Even though it's hard to hear, and it's even harder to preach to your friends, that's the point of the parable. Our lives are focused on all the wrong things too. Our hearts are attached to all the wrong things too. Idols of our hearts, money, wealth, pleasures. It's tough. And we see it in the reverse side too, right? Because when those things don't come, when we pray and ask and pray and ask and we don't get our inheritance now because God's loving and gracious, then guess what? We get angry. And we say, "Yeah, I prayed to God for that. He really helped me. Never got that one." You know how many times we've heard that? People frustrated, angry, believing they've built a case, a literal case against God, because they didn't get what they wanted. The question is, I think from the parable anyways, is how long will we be in this state of our hearts longing for everything and anything except our Father? How long will it be before these material things that we all want so badly finally realize we do, that they're just pig slop, that they're not going to last compared to the eternal blessings of God in heavenly places? And then in our text, when the prodigal son finally sees his error, you know, when he's out there hungry and wants to eat the pig food, he finally sees it, and what does he do? It continually amazes me. He does the same thing that we do. He tries to strike a deal with his Father. Like, "Oh Lord, please forgive me and I'll do this. If you'll just forgive me this, I'll do this. If you'll do this for me, Lord, I'll do this for you, or I'll stop doing this thing that I keep doing." You Even when by faith, us as Christians can see that these material things on an eternal scale, they don't matter. They're temporal. They pass away quickly. We still think by our own works and cunning that we can somehow strike a deal and get back into this what daily bread sort of care of our Father. But it's true what Jesus teaches. Where your treasure is, there your heart shall be also. And even though we act this way, and like I said, it's a bit of a pill, right? To see the parable of the prodigal son like this, it's not easy to hear, it's tough. But even though we act this way, God remains a truly gracious God who pours out on us so much blessing. He doesn't hold it all back and make us just suffer all the time, does he? No, he provides. He gives us what we need. He gives us our daily bread and even more. And these then, like we need to double down here, but the scripture does. These then being the scariest words in the entire New Testament, I think. Because in this thought that we're asking God, you know, inheritance please, just to make our lives more comfortable and easy right now, if that's what we're doing, then here's what Jesus says. I assure you, you've received your reward in full. Those being the scariest words in the New Testament. Because if he's already given it to us, then there's nothing else that he's going to give. If we're getting our inheritance now, we better enjoy it, right? That's scary stuff. It's really tough to think of because we have, at some level, just done that in our relationships with God. Just more, more, more. If I could just win the lottery, why won't you let me win? Fix all my problems. That sounds like inheritance talk, right? If we abuse his kindness 10,000 times over all the time, and all that's on the lips are just more asks. These material things that our hearts are connected to, friends, he's leading us away from them, and he's leading us to himself. Maybe in hearing these things, I definitely, in thinking these things, am like, whoa. It's like almost a prodigal moment for me when I realize I'm ready to come back. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do it this way. I don't want to be using him, just asking for stuff. I guess in some way, we're all kind of prodigal sons. Would he receive us back? Well, let the scriptures inform us on that, right? Before you even turn on the light this morning when you woke up, or before even the sun came blasting through your curtains and said, good Sunday morning to you. He already saw you coming. No different than the father looked out that day and saw his son on down the road. He saw you as you ate your breakfast. He saw you as you got in your car. And he saw you as you drove here to church this morning. He saw you coming so that in these moments together, surrounded by the word, he could embrace you once again. So he could take the robe of Christ's righteousness that he won for you on the cross and put it over you again as you receive his own sacrament into yourself. He saw you coming down the road and he said, no, that one right there is one of mine. Put a ring on it. Shoes for their feet. Those are the shoes of righteousness, right? That one's one of mine. Baptized into Christ, he calls us children of God. And even if we've been prodigals, he loves us. We see it displayed in the cross and resurrection of Jesus. It just boggles my mind, the kindness of this guy. And the love of this guy who is our God, who baptized us into his house, who looks at us with kindness even in the moments when we've abused and abused him, or at least tried. He still loves you. He really loves you. And he forgives all our sins and he receives us again. And it won't be long until we're rejoicing together in heaven at the banquet feast of Christ. He never have one of his sons or daughters come and make a deal with him. No, he loves you too much. The deal, the terms of the deal don't even matter. When he sees you, he lights up. He makes his face shine on you, and he's gracious to you, and he looks upon you with favor, and he gives you his peace. And me too. We're in his family, so we can rest in that reality. That's who you are in Christ. We're not one that would even think of chasing our inheritance down. No, we love this beautiful, wonderful God too much. We just want to spend time with him, right? So in our prayer life, this is the thought. We don't go to get stuff. We go to be with him because he's so wonderful. So let us go now. Be careful with our prayers and our asks. He's going to give us our daily bread. And we should be thankful. And our inheritance is great and it's coming. But that's not why we love him. We love him because he first loved us. And we can't be perfect on our own in this life. But with God's help, we can be faithful to this wonderful, wonderful Father who's received us back again today and loves us forever and ever. Amen. Now, may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We come to the time in our service where we confess our faith together this morning to the words of the Apostles' Creed. We invite the congregation to please stand if you're able as we confess our faith. We're on page 9 in the bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We now come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Have mercy on us, O God. According to your steadfast love, give us a proper knowledge of the sins and evil that we have done in your sight, and move us to confess our offenses against you, and justify us with your holy absolution. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, you delight in truth in the inward being and teach us wisdom in the secret heart. Give to our pastors every good gift as your ambassadors, that we may grow in faith and hope. Lord, in your mercy. Father of mercy, remember all your baptized children who have left your household of faith, departed from their confession. Lord, work mightily to show them that the world and its things are temporary, and call them to repentance according to your gracious will. Remember parents, grandparents, and all who hurt because of their departure. Sustain them in faithful patience to wait and to pray, trusting in you. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, in Christ you reconciled the world to yourself. Watch over our nation and all whom you have placed in authority here. Give them wisdom and prudence, that your people might live in peace and freely make known the message of reconciliation. Watch over our school here at Trinity as we approach the end of another academic year. Bless school board members, teachers, staff, and students with your strength and your joy. Lord, watch over our hospitals, our medical clinics, our doctors, our nurses, the staff there, the EMTs. Bless and protect them. And Lord, watch over our police and firefighters and all who serve us. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Everlasting Father, although this world is passing away due to sin, we pray that you would preserve your creation for our provision until you usher in your new creation. And Lord, hear our prayers for all who cry to you for mercy, for healing, or for help. We name before you now from the altar Rob Bond, the family of Jeff Gilmore, Jeff Autopolic, family of Linda Struenberg, Adam and Andrea, Joyce Austin, Sandy Cody, Dick Greitz, Bob Phillips, Larry Reinbarger, Susan St. Cyr, Rob Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Lori Hauser, Donna Ford, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Jerry, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord God, deliver them according to your will. As you have made them new creations in Christ, keep them mindful of the day when sorrow and sickness will be no more. Lord, in your mercy. Great in our midst is the Holy One of Israel, who visits us this day with his very own body and blood. Lord, give to all who partake of this Holy Communion penitent hearts, to not approach it with any righteousness of our own, but trusting only in yours, your righteousness, O Lord Jesus, and your strength. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Have us awesome special music this morning during our tithes and offerings. As the offerings are collected and presented this morning, we'll enjoy. Thank you. Amen. Beautiful. If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning into our service and wish you the Lord's blessings in Christ Jesus on your week. If you're gathered here with us in the sanctuary, we invite you to turn over to page 10 in your bulletin, and please stand if you're able for our service of the sacrament. This morning for reception, we'll receive the sacrament down in front of the altar in the line. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave His life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal Feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinity.